It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live with you for the next hour as we're getting you geared up for tonight's NBA playoff action between the Celtics and the Heat. Game four getting underway tonight. We'll have prop shelf. We'll go over a bunch of the props, points, rebounds, assists combined between various players like we did yesterday. Plus, we'll just take a look at the spread, the total, some of my best bets for the game. We'll take an early peek at tomorrow's matchup with the Lakers and the Nuggets as well. Plus, on the ice, we have Stanley Cup postseason action as well. Ian Cameron will be joining the show in about 25 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts and best bets on tonight's game between the Stars and the Lightning. And we got a nice baseball slate, which we'll get into in just a few moments. Jason Weingarten, professional handicapper, will be joining us to go over some of his best bets on the diamond. Plus, we'll talk a little bit of NFL like we did last week. Since it's really the middle of the week as of this point, we're going to look at some of the biggest line movements thus far in the NFL. So we have a bunch to get to tonight. First, let's get you ready for the pregame rush where we dive into the games in baseball specifically. They're about to have first pitch in just a few minutes, and we'll start between the Pirates and the Cubs. This one getting underway in just about 2 or 3 minutes. Kyle Hendricks taking the bump for Chicago tonight, opposing Hendricks. Trevor Williams, both righties. Last night, the Pirates won on a walk-off, 3-2. Rizzo had a nice jack to tie up the game when the Cubs offense was inept, like we've seen so many times throughout this season. So despite that, though, the Cubs once again open up as a big favorite over the slumping Pirates. Minus 198 is where they open. Plus 180 is where Pittsburgh open. Currently, we see this line at Bet Rivers jacked up to the Cubs minus 265. The Pirates catch him plus 220. If you're interested in the run line, you want to lay the run and a half. You're still laying minus 155 with Chicago. The Pirates, if you want to catch the run and a half, plus 128 some decent value on that side. The total opened up at about 8. We've seen that tick up to 8.5. The over is minus 105. The under minus 113. When we look at some of the stats for these pitchers, starting with Hendricks this season, he's 6-4 on the mound with an ERA of 2.93, a nice whip of 0.99, and an xFIP, which we talk about so much, of 3.62. Remember, an xFIP, a stat that estimates a pitcher's run prevention independent of the performance of the defense. Based on outcomes that don't involve the defense, such as strikeouts, walks, hit by pitch, and fly balls are allowed as well. So Hendricks really has a solid xFIP, 3.62 this season. Looking on the other side for Trevor Williams, not too great. 1-8 this season with a 6.70 ERA and a higher whip of 1.63 and an xFIP of 4.90. So it makes sense why the Cubs are a big favorite here. Once again, minus 265 on the money line. Pirates catch him plus 220. That total bumped up a tad bit. Now at 8.5, shaded a little bit to the under. All right, and the next game getting underway at 6:10 p.m. Central Time, Miami and Atlanta. The Marlins opened up as the dog here, plus 157. Atlanta minus 172. The total opened up at 8. Currently, as we look at it now, it's been steady at 8, shaded a tad bit to the over, minus 118. The under 8 is minus 103. The Braves still a pretty big favorite, minus 167 at Bet Rivers. The Marlins catching plus 143. On the run line, if you want to take the run and a half with Miami, you're laying -$1.48. If you're laying the run and a half, plus 123 with Atlanta, the Braves got another dominant performance out of their offense, beating the Marlins last night 11-1, and they throw their ace on the bump tonight. Max Fried, the southpaw, 7-0 this season with a 1.96 ERA, a whip of 1.05, and a solid xFIP of 3.91. But opposing Fried, a solid pitcher in himself, Sixto Sanchez, the righty, 3-2 this season with a 2.75 ERA, a nice whip of 1.08, and an xFIP of 3.70. So some good numbers on both sides. Despite that, though, I mean, you know how good this Braves offense can be. That total, you would maybe think it'd be 7.5 or so, but you're seeing 8, and it is shaded a tad bit to the over. We'll see how long Sanchez can go against his Braves offense. But that Braves offense does have their team posted at minus 167 on the money line. And finally, the Rays and the Mets is also getting underway in about 6 minutes or so. Tampa Bay opened up as a big favorite despite losing yesterday. Minus 178 is where they opened. Currently, as we look, they're minus 159. The Mets open plus 163. We see them catching plus 135. The total's been steady at 8.5 so far. Tyler Glasnow taking the bump for the Rays. Michael Wacha on the other side for the Mets. Wacha 1-3 this season with a 6.75 ERA. Glasnow 4-1 with a 4.21 ERA. Once again, we see the Rays minus 159. Welcome into Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network live in Des Plaines, Illinois at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. The book is packed, getting ready for tonight's action in the NBA between the Celtics and the Heat. We'll discuss that game a little bit later in the show. We'll talk the hockey game tonight for the Stanley Cup Finals. Stars and the Lightning knotted up at one apiece. Ian Cameron will be joining us to discuss that. Plus, as we did last week and will continue to do, take a look at the biggest NFL line movements thus far in the middle of the week going into NFL Week 3. We'll continue on, though, with the baseball slate tonight. And for that, we'll bring in Jason Weingarten, professional handicapper at Spreadopedia. This is where you can follow Jason on Twitter. Big contributor to VSiN as well. VSiN.com/subscribe to get some more of that exclusive content along with all the sports platform. Be sure to get it now, covering all the sports. But Jason does a great job with baseball. So, Jason, thanks for joining the show tonight, my man. We're winding down this baseball season. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Just watching a couple games right now myself, but just grinding out.
Jason, on it just a sec. We'll get into some of these games in a little bit further. We were talking about that Rays and Mets. I was kind of brushed up on it because this one's getting underway in just about 3 minutes as of now. Like we said, we saw the Rays minus 178 is where they opened. The Mets plus 163. Now you see New York and their dominant offense still plus 135. Tampa Bay on the other side, minus 159. Once again, that totals at 8.5. So the Mets did get the win against the Rays last night. The Rays still looking to clinch the division. Blake Snell could not get the job done against Seth Lugo, who's really been a solid pitcher for New York. So the Mets got the win last night, 5-2. Despite that, you still see the Rays as a heavy favorite, minus 159. Glasnow, the righties, 4-1 this season with a 4.21 ERA and a whip of 1.19. His xFIP has been really solid this season, 2.78 for Glasnow. And on the other side, like we talked about with Wacha, not the best season that we've seen out of Wacha, 1-3 so far with a 6.75 ERA. He's got a higher whip of 1.68, and that xFIP, 4.26, not brutally awful, but not necessarily enough for me to want to bet with the plus money here with the New York Mets. And if you look at these two pitchers, how they've done against each respective team, Glasnow is 0-2 with a 7.07 ERA in five career games, which involve two starts against the Mets. So not the best numbers for Glasnow. Walk on the other side, he's 0-2 with a 9.72 ERA in two starts against the Rays. So both of these pitchers not necessarily having the best performances against each respective team. Granted, that kind of goes back a little bit farther, but nevertheless, like we said, the Rays minus 159, the Mets plus 135 tonight, and that total sits at 8.5, shaded a little bit to the under, minus 113. Let's take a look at this Orioles and Red Sox game now. The Orioles catching plus 138, as we see on the money line. Minus 162 is where we see Boston. The total's at 9 in the spot, minus 109 on each side. This one opened up with Baltimore plus 130 and the Red Sox -140. We'll bring in Jason now and get him on the horn to get his thoughts on this game. Jason, like we said, the Red Sox laying about minus 162. The Orioles plus 138 is where we see it at Bet Rivers currently with the total at 9. Did you have any thoughts on this matchup for tonight?
Yeah, I actually bet the Red Sox in that game. I bet it a little earlier in the day. I got a little bit of a better price too, but I'm on the Red Sox. I'm also on the over 9.
What's your kind of thought on this Red Sox team? I mean, I know it's pretty late in this season, but a lot of people still see some value with backing them as at this point, just because they really haven't gotten any respect, and probably rightfully so. But have you seen a lot of good opportunities with this Red Sox team throughout, maybe not the whole season, but as of late?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen there be a lot of value on them the entire season. Just the numbers thing, straight numbers is why I'm betting it. I have no interest in the team or the game. The Red Sox were one of my big no playoff bets, and I expected them to be bad, but it's just a pure numbers thing. Every day they're catching big underdog prices against average opponents.
All right, Jason, well, let's take a look at this next game going off at 6:40 p.m. Central Time. The Tigers and the Twins. Casey Mize taking the bump for Detroit, and he has Detroit catching plus 295, and that's because Minnesota's throwing out Kenta Maeda tonight. We see them laying minus 375. The total, though, is at 8.5 in this one, shaded a tad bit to the under. You're probably not looking anywhere on the spread, at least in regards to the Twins, but any consideration with this total?
I bet under eight and a half. I like that play actually. That's a good bet, I think.
So we see that under 8.5 minus 117, the over 8.5 minus 103. Jason gravitating toward the Twins, toward the under rather, is the Twins are minus 375 on the money line, plus 295 for the Tigers. Casey Mize and Kenta Maeda going off tonight. Twins getting the win in extras last night, 5-4 in 10 innings. Once again, Jason gravitating toward that under of 8.5. All right, let's go to the game going off at about 7 p.m. Central Time tonight, Jason. The Cardinals and the Royals. This one a little bit closer in terms of the odds. St. Louis minus 121 on the road in this spot. The Royals plus 102. This total we see at 9, shaded a tad bit to the under. Carlos Martinez going on the mound for the Cardinals tonight, and Danny Duffy, the southpaw for the Royals. Which way do you lean in this one?
I bet the Cardinals. Typically, if down the stretch you're going to get a game with a playoff contender versus a non-playoff team, I'm always going to be on the playoff team, especially in this case with such a low line. It might seem sort of counterintuitive, but I think it's a simple bet on the Cardinals here. They're playing for something. The other team isn't.
Yeah, and kind of what's your assessment on St. Louis as at this point? I mean, they've had a rocky road throughout the course of the season, having to play a lot of doubleheaders. Do you think this could potentially be a team where going into the postseason, even at the end of this week, in some circumstances, you look to maybe fade them because of the fatigue that could catch up with them? Or is that something you don't take as much into account?
They got to finish the season. There's so much up in the air before they even get to the playoffs. But they got to finish the season with 5 games against Milwaukee. So if I'm them, I'm looking to win right now. You know, get every win I can. You know, coming down the stretch when you know it's about to get tougher. So I'm not even sure they're going to be in the playoffs at the end of the week. You know, it's a very tight race, especially for those last couple spots in the NL.
Yeah, it really is. So it's going to be fun to watch this go down, especially for the Cardinals and the rest of the NL Central and NL in general. We'll move on to the AL here. Well, I mean, it's a crosstown here. Not crosstown, but interleague with the A's and the Dodgers. But, man, the Dodgers have been a fun team to watch, but more so Oakland has. And they're at this price, they're plus 151 is where they open. We've seen a little attention go their way, Jason. Plus 140 on the money line. The Dodgers minus 162 tonight. The total for this one sits at 9 as well, shaded a little bit to the under. Are you looking to lay that price with the Dodgers, or is there some value with Oakland tonight?
I bet Oakland overnight, and my bet got canceled just now because there was a pitching change. I generally assumed that sort of a hangover game was coming for the Dodgers today with clinching the division last night, and they ended up deciding to start a bullpen guy, Joe Kelly, to sort of simulate a playoff scenario. So, I was looking at the A's. I'd probably still bet the A's. I had A's and over 8.5, both of those canceled. I'm looking to rebet both of them as it gets closer to game time.
Yeah, we currently see Oakland plus 140 here at Bet Rivers. That total at 9. The over is even money. The under is minus 118 as we're talking with Jason Weingarten, professional sports handicapper at Spreadopedia. It's where you can follow Jason on Twitter, catch a lot of his material on VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to round out the MLB slate for tonight with the Rockies and the Giants, Jason. The Rockies catching plus 163 this evening, minus 195. The Giants are a heavy favorite. The total for this game at 9, shaded just a tad bit to the under. Castellanos taking the mound for Colorado. Logan Webb on the other side for San Francisco. How do you see this one playing out?
I like San Francisco. I wouldn't recommend laying such a huge price with them in this game, but I think they're going to probably be one of those last teams that sneak into the playoffs. This was another game that my bet got canceled on with a pitching change. So I don't know. I really have no play on it. I'm just just watching it for playoff, just to see who's getting in the playoffs.
All right. Well, speaking of the playoffs, Jason, let's kind of take a look at some of this futures market here, and let's look at the NL to start. To win the NL pennant, we see the Dodgers, of course, is the favorite, plus 130. Then you get the Padres at 5-1, the Braves at 6-1, the Cubs at 7-1. Anything you really look for in a flyer in that scenario, or do you have anything you're already riding? How are you looking to bet the NL pennant winner?
The only things I bet were from March before the original shutdown. I bet the Yankees like plus 550 to win the World Series when the Garrett Cole news broke. And I bet the Reds 22-1, and that was in March. And the number's been all over the place since then. It's back to about 20-1. I like the Reds. I would be looking farther down than the top favorites. Like, you're not going to find any value with the Dodgers or the Padres. You're going to have to look much farther down than that. For me, it'd be the Reds if I didn't already have them. It would be the Brewers. Especially because that first series, the 3-game series, you get a good team with a good rotation, like the Reds or the Brewers. They have frontline starters. The Brewers have 3 guys out of the bullpen. The Reds have maybe 2 or 3 they like. You know, anybody could win a 3-game series. So I'd be looking at first round upsets, and I'd be looking farther down to the mid tier of the NL, mainly Reds and Brewers right now.
Yeah, we see both the Reds and the Brewers at 20-1 to win the NL pennant. And, you know, sticking with the NL Central, we like to focus on that, being that we're in the Chicagoland area here, Jason. And the Cubs we see at 7-1, despite that, not even saying them for a bet to win the NL pennant. But just on this team overall, what kind of grasp do you have on them? I mean, they're a team that has so much inconsistencies with their offense. Is this a team maybe that you think could have an early elimination this postseason?
They could. I mean, it really depends on who they match up against. And it's sort of what I was saying about the Brewers and the Reds. It's the same thing, sort of the Phillies, for example, who are probably the ninth team out of eight. They're the first guys out right now. Even they have a formidable lineup and two starters in Wheeler and Nola that can knock anybody off. So, I mean, yeah, if I was the Cubs, I wouldn't be very excited about my prospects in a 3-game series, just because a 3-game series, anybody can go crazy, and anything can happen in this first round. So I could see the Cubs exiting early, but I don't know. I'd be more optimistic if I was a Cubs fan. You don't have much to worry about. It's a overall good team. It just randomness is going to happen when you have 3-game playoffs to start.
All right, Jason, let's take a look at the AL pennant winners. The Yankees at the top now, plus 280. Their bats have been picking up tremendously as of late. The Rays are 3-1. The White Sox, plus 450. The A's, 5-1. The Twins, 6-1. You go a little bit further down the list, you get Houston at 12-1. The Indians, 14-1. The Blue Jays, which were a popular pick in the offseason, at 18-1. Anything you would flirt with that category?
I kind of like the Indians. They've played a little better than their record would suggest. I don't think you're going to get a lot of value again up top with the A's, the Rays, or the Yankees right now. So again, if you're really looking to get in, my strategy would be to wait next week for the first round series prices and to look for the biggest dog prices in the first round. But, you're going to see some potential upsets with the Twins and the Indians not being the division winner and going on the road against somebody. You know, those are pretty good clubs. And the Astros, don't sleep on the Astros. They still have a bunch of guys from a World Series team. I'd probably take some of that 12-1 if I was looking for some more bets.
All right. So the Astros, don't sleep on them. As Jason says, 12-1 is what Houston is currently to win the AL pennant. At Spreadopedia is where you can follow Jason on Twitter. Jason, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good luck. Let's watch some baseball tonight.
Of course. As always, appreciated. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, where you can catch him on Twitter. Like we said, contributes to VSiN as well. VSiN.com/subscribe to get a lot of his great baseball content, analysis, and more. Like we were doing, going over some of those AL and NL pennant odds. Just to kind of refresh them once again, sticking with the AL, the Yankees are plus 280 to win the pennant. The Rays were 3-1. The White Sox plus 450. Now, we talk about a popular bet in the offseason. Obviously, the White Sox were a very popular candidate. Them and the Reds were really the two biggest team getting so much of the money, outweighing a lot of the other teams, especially in Las Vegas, what we heard from so many bookmakers. So the White Sox plus 450 to win the AL pennant. The A's at 5-1, so right below Chicago. The Twins at 6-1. The Astros, who we were just talking about with Jason, at 12-1. The Indians 14-1. The Blue Jays are 18-1. So some potential good value if you think some of these teams can come awry and really just have their hot bats. And that's what it is. It's not who's had the best who's had the best season over consistency, but who's hot in the right moment, like we like to say all the time. We were talking about that with Amal Shaw, how Derek Jeter always alludes to that. So any of these teams can just come about at any given moment for this postseason. And really, since it's this condensed season and 60 games, who knows what's going to happen, especially in this playoffs with the expanded playoffs. So it'll definitely be fun to see how this one develops. But just some score updates. It does look like the Cubs were up 1-0 in this game against the Pirates, like we saw Hendricks going at it with Williams tonight. The Cubs went off as a big favorite, and now we see them minus 385 with a one-run lead. Now we see them minus 400 as it just ticks up, though. Looks like the Cubs, Hendricks is back on the mound. If you want to lay the run and a half, you're laying minus 220. So a steep price with the Cubs with just a one-run lead. If you like the value with the Pirates, though, plus 295. If you're catching the run and a half, plus 160 between Chicago and Pittsburgh. All right, when we return, we're talking football. Biggest line movements in the NFL. You don't want to miss it. Coming back on Rush Hour. BetRivers Sportsbook gets you ready for the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 4, and the final stretch of the baseball regular season. Bet on all of today's big games, and as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, one-time playthrough on all bonuses, and superb customer service at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. It is Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As always, live at the Des Plaines Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And if you hear the groans in the background, like we talked about with the White Sox yesterday, the same has happened with the Cubs. As I look at the big screen now, we are talking about the live odds for Chicago and Pittsburgh. Chicago is laying heavy numbers as they were up 1-0 after the top of the first. Pittsburgh gets two home runs over Kyle Hendricks. Despite that, though, the Cubs still a favorite in this game, minus 152 currently, plus 120 on the buyback for Pittsburgh. The total naturally has spiked up a tad, 10.5, the over minus 110. Under minus 118. All right, let's switch gears, though, and go to the gridiron like we did last week. The biggest movements thus far in the middle of the week for the NFL's upcoming slate, NFL Week 3 coming up this Sunday. Let's take a look at which games have had the biggest line alterations in the spread and the total. And let's start with the Jags and the Dolphins. So this one actually opened as a pick'em, not the most attractive game, but we have seen action on it nevertheless. This one opened, like we said, as a pick'em. The total opened at 44. Currently at Bet Rivers, we see the Jags laying 3 and the total at 48. So a lot of attention going to the over in this spot. If you're looking at the money line at Bet Rivers, the Jags minus 157 and the Dolphins plus 138. But once again, guys, this one opened as a pick'em, and not saying that it opened here as a pick'em, but the first lines that we see pop up, it was a pick'em in the total at 44. Currently at Bet Rivers, the Jags getting some attention on the spread, laying 3, and the total spiking up from 44 to 48. All right, now how about we go to Pittsburgh, where the Texans and the Steelers will be duking it out this Sunday. Now, when I first saw this one, I kind of assumed this would be going this way because it opened at about 6 in favor of Pittsburgh. It seemed a tad bit too high, and that's what a lot of bettors thought, because now we see it at 4 in favor of Pittsburgh. The total's been pretty steady, opened at 45, remained at 45. Money line-wise, currently at Bet Rivers, the Steelers minus 205, the Texans plus 180. I don't think that's too bad a value with Houston this weekend. Plus 180 might be worth a gander, but catching 6 with Houston originally I think would have been a great bet. 4, I'm still a little curious. I don't have anything on it right now. I'll be curious to see where it ends up. But like we said, this one opened with the Steelers laying 6. Currently now they're laying 4 at home against Houston this weekend. All right, then how about the 49ers and the Giants? Both teams really riddled with injuries, as are a lot of teams as of this point. But these two teams having significant injuries all over the board. Now, the 49ers opened up laying 6.5, the total at 42.5. Currently at Bet Rivers, the 49ers are now laying 4. So dropping down a tad, some attention going to the Giants in this spot. The total dropped down from 42.5 to 41. Kind of one of those ugly games. I don't have a true feel of it as of this point, but there has been some attention in that spot. Like we said, the 49ers opened up 6.5. They were laying. Now they're only laying 4. The total dropped from 42.5 to 41. All right, let's move on to Minnesota, where the Vikings are hosting the Titans. Now, this is a very intriguing game. I've talked about it a couple times, but the Vikings might end up being that team that just continues to screw me, because there seems to be good value with them in these spots. And this could maybe be another one, although a lot of the bettors are not thinking so, because it opened up as a pick'em. The total at 45.5. Now it's shot up 2.5 points at least, but to the Titans laying 2.5. The total spiked up from 45.5 to 47.5. So, look, if this gets to 3, I hate to say it, but it's going to be hard not to take the 3 with the Vikings at home. But how is this Vikings defense going to stop the Titans with Derrick Henry? I don't know, man. This is going to be a close one. But once again, this one was a pick'em. Now the Titans laying 2.5 on the road against Minnesota. Total up from 45.5 to 47.5. We'll run through these next ones really quick. The Colts and the Jets, this one in Indianapolis. The Colts opened up as a 7-point favorite, total at 45. Now the Colts are laying 10.5, total at 43.5. So the Jets, another team that already looks like they're going to be abysmal, that number jumping from 7 to 10.5 in favor of Indianapolis. Then the Lions and the Cardinals. The Cardinals opened up as a 3.5-point favorite. Now they're laying 5.5. How about that total? Opened up at 51 and went to 55. Then between the Bucs and the Broncos, the Bucs shot up from a 3.5-point favorite to a 6-point favorite. The total went from 44.5 to 43.5. And finally, in one of the bigger games of the slate, the Packers and Saints went from a 6.5-point favorite down to a 3.5-point favorite against Green Bay. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the NFL Week 3 biggest line movements. We're talking Stanley Cup postseason next with Ian Cameron here on Rush Hour. How confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with the best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5, the show at VSiN Live, and our next guest, Ian Cameron, on Twitter at Bobano, as we're going to preview tonight's Stanley Cup Finals matchup between the Stars and the Lightning. Game 3 knotted up at 1 apiece. Ian, thanks for joining the show tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Tampa Bay did something Vegas couldn't do in the last series, and that's find a way to score some goals against this Dallas team. We'll see if they can do it again tonight.
How about it? Well, we see the Lightning, Ian, currently laying -157. The Stars +135 for tonight's matchup. The total, once again, remains at 5. The overs -105. The under -113. What do you believe is the best angle for tonight's event?
Yeah, this is obviously an important game, 1-1 series. Tampa Bay winning 3-2 the other night. 3 goals all in the first period, 2 on the power play. And that was all they needed. And then they ended up holding on for the win the rest of the way. I think the biggest difference for Tampa Bay from game 2 after losing game 1 by a score of 4-1 was they just generated a lot more high quality scoring chances, high danger scoring chances. And the reason they did that is because they just moved the puck quicker. Players were moving quicker. Nobody was stationary in the offensive zone. The passing was crisper. The passing was quicker. And as a result, when that happens, you get better quality opportunities because the defense just doesn't have an opportunity to get set up. You can't get in the shooting lane. You can't block the shot. The goaltender, Anton Udobin, doesn't have enough time to get square to the shooter, cut down the angle as much. I think just thinking the game faster, moving the puck faster, really did a world of good for Tampa Bay. And I think they're going to try to duplicate that here tonight. They might have success as well because one of the key injuries for Dallas coming out of game 2 is Blake Como. And you might think, you know, he's just a depth forward. He's not a big offensive point producer. How badly could you miss him if you're Dallas? You can miss him a lot because he's one of their best defensive forwards. He's one of their best penalty killers. And now all of a sudden, if he doesn't play tonight, he's a game-time decision. We're going to have to see in minutes if he's out there for the pregame skate. If he's not, he's probably not playing. But if he doesn't play, that's trouble against Tampa Bay that can put 3 different forward lines out there that can all get it done on the score sheet offensively. So Como status is going to be big for tonight. I don't know. I kind of doubt that he's going to play because it looked like an injury that the other night that could keep him out for at least a game. So I'm going to kind of assume he's not going to play tonight. And if that's the case, I think Tampa Bay can get some offense going. I played this game over in the first period, 1.5 +115. Each of the first 2 games had the first period go over the total. So you're 2-0 to the over in the first period, 1-1 after the first period in game 1, 3-0 after the first period in game 2. And I also like the game full game over, but I split it in half because we have seen scoring kind of slow down after the first period in each of the first 2 games. But without Como, Tampa Bay's got a chance to carry over that offensive success from game 2.
All right, so Ian, looking at the first period over, once again, though, on the money line, the Lightning laying -157, the Stars +135, and the game total at 5, shaded a tad bit to the under, -113. Ian, as we look at just the odds to win the series as of this point, the Lightning obviously shot up as the big favorite, as they were pretty much going into the series. They're currently -195 at BetRivers, the Stars at +170. Is this kind of an area where you would stay away from Avs at this point, or is that value with the Dallas pretty tempting for you?
It's tempting, but I'm just reading on Twitter as we're doing this interview right now that Steven Stamkos is on the ice for the Tampa Bay Lightning in pregame warmup, and that's probably an indicator he might be making his return. He has not played a game yet since the Tampa Bay Lightning have resumed play in this bubble here in August, and I've been sick and tired of talking about when he's coming back, if he's coming back, and it's been nauseating because they've been talking about how he's inches away from coming back for months now, and nothing seems to happen. But he is on the ice right now for pregame warm-up, so we might see Stevens, and obviously it would be any kind of contribution he can make for Tampa Bay is good for them. And conversely, it looks like Blake Como, I just mentioned him for Dallas, he is not in the pregame warm-up for the Stars, so that's an indicator he's probably not going to play. So I'm a little bit worried for the Stars, particularly defensively, you know, with no Como and with potential that Stamkos might return to go with, as I mentioned, Braden Point, Andre Palat, Kucherov. Who do you match up with if you're Rick Bowness, the head coach? Who do you put your top D pair out? Who do you put your top checking line out? A checking line that's now depleted without Blake Como in the lineup. So it's trouble, I think, for Dallas tonight. I was leaning Dallas initially, but, you know, with all the injury situations that are now coming to fruition here and with Como out of this game, I probably can't take any part of the Dallas side here. It's a question of value with Tampa, but I think they've got a chance offensively to keep things rolling after game two. These are some big defensive concerns right now for the Stars.
All right, getting live reporting from Ian Cameron. Gotta love it. We see the live liner, or still pre-flop, obviously, but no adjustments from what we just saw, though. Plus 135 for Dallas, minus 157 for the Lightning. That total at about 5 once again. Ian, we got about 30 seconds. Really quick, though, if there's anything that's going to stand out potentially in this game, what kind of in-game opportunities would you look to?
I think the key thing is, are they moving the puck quickly, Tampa Bay? Are they getting quality shots? Are they really getting those odd man rushes against this Dallas team, which I think could be a little bit weakened defensively tonight? If they are, maybe you look in game over. Maybe you look in game Tampa Bay as well. And if they're not, maybe it's a sign Dallas is starting to tighten things up and can frustrate this team again.
All right, Ian Cameron at Bobanos, where you can follow him on Twitter, professional sports handicapper and VSiN contributor, VSiN.com/subscribe to get more access. Ian, as always, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Danny. Have a good night.
You bet. You as well, Ian Cameron. Great stuff per usual joining us. Some big news breaking. So plus 135, like we said, for the Stars, minus 157. If you want to hurry up and jump on the Lightning, potentially based off that news that Ian just delivered, that total still steady at five, shaded a little bit to the under, minus 113 between the Lightning and the Stars game three of the Stanley Cup Finals. Minus 195, by the way, to win the series for the Lightning, plus 170 for the Stars currently at Bet Rivers. When we return, though, we're going to postseason NBA action, the Heat and the Celtics tonight. We see that line with the Heat catching 3.5, plus 135 on the money line, total at 211.5. We'll hit prop shelf, go all through them next here on Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetRivers Sportsbook gets you ready for the Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 and the final stretch of the baseball regular season. Bet on all of today's big games and, as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit with a one-time playthrough on all bonuses and superb customer service at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back to Bet Rivers, or welcome back to Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Sorry, I'm getting all flustered here off of what Ian told us. All this news, Doug's going crazy to my right here because he's rooting for the Lightning tonight, and he's a little mad because yesterday, and we'll get into this in just a sec because we're doing prop shelf here in a second. We had a prop that we both really liked, and Doug pretty much said it was a lock from the start. So now we're joking and calling him a mush, and he's nodding because he's saying, rightfully so, I deserve it. So hopefully he's not on the same ones we are tonight, but he is on the Lightning, just an FYI if you're looking to bet that game. But no, in all seriousness, we'll get into prop shelf with the Heat and the Celtics tonight. The Celtics, once again, they're laying 3.5 in this game, -$1.62. is where the Celtics are on the money line. The Heat catching plus 135, some decent value with Miami as they lead the series 2-1. That total at 211.5. We'll get into that in just a bit. But let's start with prop shelf. Tonight's top props, we'll do kind of what we did yesterday. We'll take a look at the points, rebounds, and assists combined with some of the key players tonight and three-point field goals made. So let's start with points, rebounds, and assists. Bam Adebayo, his number set at 31.5. The over minus 121, the under is even money. Throughout the postseason, he's averaging about 17.7 points per game, 11.4 rebounds per game, just under 5 assists per contest. In game one, he put up 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. Game two, he put up 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. Game three, 27 points, 16 rebounds for Adebayo, and just 1 assist. But that's put him over that mark, which it's set at currently tonight at 31.5. He's gone over that each time so far in this series. Plus, if you're curious, because this is the angle I looked at, His points prop was at 16 and a half earlier today. It was about minus 121. I actually snagged it at that. We'll get into that a little bit later. That's bumped up to 134. So another mark that he's gone over in every single game this series so far. But for points, rebounds, and assists combined, 31 and a half is the number for Bam Adebayo. All right, let's move on to Jimmy Buckets, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler, 30 and a half, over, under, minus 110 each way. He's putting up about 21 points per game throughout this postseason, just under 6 rebounds and 4 assists. In game one, he had 20 points with 5 rebounds along with 5 assists. Game two, Jimmy put up 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then in the last game on Saturday, 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists for Butler. He has not gone over the mark of 30 and a half, though. Once this series, his points prop, though, is set at 19 and a half. If you're curious, the over was minus 106. The under shaded a tad bit that way, minus 115. But once again, for rebounds, for assists, for points, 30 and a half for Jimmy Butler, a number that he has not eclipsed so far against the Celtics. All right, how about Dragic? He's at 26 and a half tonight. The over is minus 118. The under is minus 104. He's putting up about 21 points per game throughout the postseason, 4 rebounds, 4.7 assists. In game one against the Celtics, he put up a really solid stat line of 29 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Game two, he put up 25 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists. Then in game three, where he slumped 11 points, 1 rebound, and 5 assists. So he's gone over the mark of 26 and a half. 2 out of the 3 games this series, his points prop is set at 18 and a half, minus 110 each way. But once again, for rebounds, assists, and points combined, Dragic, 26 and a half, minus 118 to the over, the under, minus 104. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the Celtics. Jaylen Brown for points, rebounds, and assists, he's at 28 and a half, over, under, minus 110 each way. Throughout this postseason, Brown's been putting up 21 points per game, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. In game one against the Heat, he put up 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. In game two, he put up 21, 6, and 2. Game three, 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. So he's gone over the mark of 28 and a half. 2 out of the 3 games this series, his points prop set at 19 and a half, shaded a tad bit to the over, minus 118. The under minus 104. Jaylen Brown certainly going to be or need to be that spark that the Celtics need, as he has been in so many of these big games throughout the postseason. So if you think that's going to be the case tonight, 28 and a half with the over under minus 110 each way, a good opportunity potentially to look going over. Kemba Walker, same kind of deal here, 28 and a half minus 110 each way. He's putting up about 20 points per game throughout the playoffs, 4.5 rebounds per game, and about 5 assists. In game one, Walker put up 19 points, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds. Game two, 23 points, 3 assists, and 7 rebounds. Game three, he put up 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. So he has also gone over the mark of 28 and a half, 2 out of the 3 games this series. His points prop at 19 and a half, shaded a tad bit to the under, minus 115, the over, minus 106 for Kemba. And finally, Jason Tatum, he's got the high one, 37 and a half. The over shaded that direction, minus 118, under minus 104. He's putting up about 25 points per game, 10 rebounds, and just under 5 assists. In game one, Tatum had a great performance, 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. Game two, 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then game three for Tatum, finally, another double-double, 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists. He's gone over that mark 2 out of 3 times in this series. His points prop for tonight, at 24 and a half, folks, the over shaded that way, minus 115, the under, minus 106. Out of those, I don't really have anything I necessarily prefer. Like I said, if I'm kind of going one way or the other, I would look the over with Adebayo. I already said I kind of liked his points prop at 16 and a half, but for all of those combined, not one that would be the best bet per se, but I would certainly look toward the over in that spot. And Jaylen Brown could potentially be a good opportunity too. Wouldn't be surprised if he has a good outing tonight. Remember, these guys haven't played since Saturday, so the potential for a lot of points scored in tonight's contest between the Heat and the Celtics. And how are you going to get a lot of those points scored? Well, they're going to be three-pointers. So let's take a look at the three-point field goals made for the props for these players tonight. Duncan Robinson, he's set at 2.5, and naturally it is shaded to the over, minus 152, the under, plus 125. Robinson's putting up about 7 threes per game, making about 3 of them. So he's shooting about 41% from beyond the arc. In this series, he's hit at least 3 threes in 2 out of the 3 games. Throughout the postseason, in 12 games, he's only hit 3 threes 5 times out of 12 games, however. But it's chalked to the over minus 152 if you think Robinson goes over 3, or if he makes at least 3 threes. If not, the under, you get a little bit of plus money, plus 125 for Duncan Robinson. And how about Jimmy Butler? I thought this was a little intriguing here. He's just at a half. So if you think Jimmy just makes 1 3, the over was even money. The under minus 121. He's putting up just about 2 threes per game and making 1. In this series, he's hit at least 1 3 just 1 out of the 3 games, however. So he's not getting too much action from beyond the arc. Throughout the postseason, in those 12 games, in half of them, he's hit at least 1 3. If you think he does it again, the over is even money, and the under, minus 121. And finally, Goran Dragic for the Heat. He's at 2.5. The over, some potential good value, plus 145 if you think he can hit 3 beyond the arc. The under is chalked that direction, minus $1.80. He's putting up about 7 threes per game, making just under 3. So he's shooting about 38% from beyond the arc. In this series, though, he's hit at least 3 threes in 2 out of the 3 games. And throughout the postseason, in 12 games, out of half of them, so in 6 games, he's hit at least 3 threes in a game as well. So potentially some good value on the over for Dragic, plus 145 if you think he can knock down 3 from beyond the arc. And then Tyler Hero, actually, I forgot about Hero, 2.5. He's at the over plus 110, the under minus 134. Hero's putting up just under 7 threes a game, making a little bit over 2 of them, about 2.5. In this series, he's hit at least 3 threes just 1 out of the 3 games, though. Throughout the postseason, he's hit 7 out of 12. So out of the 12 games he's played, in 7 of them, he's hit at least 3 threes. And then let's go through the Celtics players. Jaylen Brown, 2.5, the over plus 115, the under minus 139. In the series, he's hit at least 3 threes, only 1 out of the 3 games, in 6 out of the 14 games in total throughout the postseason. So Brown is the over to get at least 3 threes, plus 115, the under minus 139. Kemba Walker, he's also set at 2.5, minus 110 each way. The dude's putting up just over 7 threes per game, though, and making about 2 of them. So you're getting a pick 'em each way. In this series, he's hit at least 3 threes, though, 2 out of the 3 games, and 6 out of the 14 throughout the whole postseason. Jason Tatum, 2.5 as well, the over minus 134, the under plus 110. He's also putting up about 7 threes per game, making just over 2.5 of them. In this series, he's only hit 3 threes just 1 time, though, in only 5 out of the 14 games in the entirety of the postseason has he gone over that mark of 2.5. And despite that, it's shaded that way, though, minus 134. And finally, Marcus Smart, 2.5 as well, the over plus 125, the under minus 152. Also putting up 7 threes a game, making about 2.5 of them, 35% from beyond the mark, or beyond the arc, excuse me. In this series, though, he's had hit at least 3 threes in only 1 out of the 3 games. And out of 14 games, he's only done it 4 times in this postseason. So if you're looking for the under, it is chalked that direction, but the stats do back it up. So if you think Marcus Smart goes below 2, or below 3 threes, rather, you're laying minus 152. If you think he goes over, plus 125. All right, before we wrap up here on Rush Hour, let me get some of your bets tonight. Like we said, hopefully Doug's not on the same ones. That's not going to be a running theme. We believe in Doug. We love Doug. But let's look at tonight's game with the Heat and the Celtics. I'm looking at the total at 211.5, shaded a tad bit to the over, minus 112 currently. The under is minus 109. I'm thinking it's going to be a higher scoring game tonight. Like we said, they've been off since Saturday night, and they've gone over this mark 2 out of the 3 times throughout this series. Yes, game 1 was in overtime, but I think there is going to be great opportunities for both offenses, and I think the buckets are going to come in good enough or well enough to get over that mark and get to at least 212 tonight. And like we said earlier, Bam Adebayo potentially primed for a good performance. I liked his over prop for total points. 16.5 is what it was. Earlier, I snagged it at minus 121. That's seen some attention, though, in the last I saw, minus 134 at BetRivers, if you think Adebayo scores at least 17 points. So I like the game total over 211.5. Bam Adebayo over 16.5 points scored. Thanks for tuning in to Rush Hour. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Best luck with your bets. Have a good one.